Hey friends, I want to thank you very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. So stocks are at all-time highs, the housing market is on fire, interest rates are at zero, and this government just printed another $5 trillion. What could possibly go wrong? Meanwhile, consumer confidence hit a 10-year low, and inflation hit 6.8% officially, with many informed analysts saying it's much closer to 9%. So something's not adding up, is it? What can you do? You can play it safe. Putting some of your assets into precious metals will keep your money away from the volatility of markets and inflation and let you sleep at night. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free America the Beautiful solid silver 5-ounce coin with any qualifying plan you start. So talk to an expert at Noble Gold and they'll run you through the options to keep your money safe. No pressure, no hassling, no call centers, just a chance to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about. How refreshing would that be? You can start by calling 877-646-5347 or visit their website at noblegoldinvestments.com.
But if anyone tells you that they know the details of what 5G is going to become, run the other way. If something can be connected, it will be connected. Hundreds of billions of microchips connected in products from pill bottles to plant waterers. We must reject the notion that the 5G future will be the sole provenance of urban areas.
5G is about to be turned on. I thank God it wasn't turned on today. That is radiation. As I understand it, those signals are somewhere between 33 and 66 gigahertz. That's the exact same frequency that your microwave oven uses. So they are going to radiate everybody. And how are these people that already have the graphene oxide in them, those that receive that particular shot, which I think is by far the most of them, how are they going to respond to these electrical impulses?
Hey guys, that was attorney Tom Callender returning to SGT Report to share some very urgent information. If you don't think there's a correlation between 5G and COVID and the experimental vaccination, well, stay tuned. Our situation could become very dire very quickly. 5G was scheduled to be turned on today, but there's been a temporary pause, thank God. Friends, before we continue, just a quick word about our sponsor. If you had bought just $5,000 of Ethereum 6 months ago, you'd be sitting on more than $10,000 today. Crypto is a very fast way to build wealth. That's why Colin Plume, the CEO of Noble Gold, created MyDigitalMoney.com. It's the cryptocurrency platform that offers the best US-based phone support service. With MyDigitalMoney.com, you'll get a real live human being to answer your call. Don't understand how crypto IRAs work? You need help on how to sell your cryptos? Are you worried about the controversy over a crypto you already invested in? Call MyDigitalMoney.com. And here's a special treat. If you're unsure whether crypto investing is for you, open a Play Money account with MyDigitalMoney.com and try trading without any risk. So go to MyDigitalMoney.com right now and start building your wealth. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very, very much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGT Report. I hope you are all off to a good start to 2022. We have our hands full, friends. That is for sure. And I'm very glad to welcome back to the show my friend, attorney Todd Callender. DRAdvocates.com is the website. That stands for DisabledRightsAdvocates.com. And this man is moving heaven and earth to help prevent those who are being forced to take the vaccine by employers and others to not have to do that. Todd, how are you, sir?
Thank you for having me, Sean. I'm great. Happy to be here.
Well, I'm very glad to have you. And I want to kick this one off with this screen share here to talk about some good news. I know you can shed light on this. A U.S. District Court in the Northern District of Texas, Judge Reed O'Connor, has issued a preliminary injunction favoring 35 U.S. Navy SEALs who have sued the Biden administration over the military's mandatory COVID-19 vax mandate, taking on the DOD and winning. I love it. Let me just say this. When I searched for this to bring this article up for this conversation, Google forces Forbes to be the only avenue to supply this information. I couldn't find it on Zero Hedge, but I know that's where I first read it. So I jumped over to Bing, same search result, the Forbes article. Wow. Forbes is part of the mainstream horror media, but at least they're sharing the news here. What do you make of this? I think it's a big victory. What does it mean?
Yeah, it's a huge win for the whole movement. And this judge really did us a tremendous favor in this particular case that will actually help our case. So first and foremost, it really only seems to apply to the plaintiffs in this particular class, which is not a big class like ours. It is nonetheless helpful to us because of the findings of facts. The way it works in the law is you go to trial and the judge makes findings of fact, which are generally not disturbed on appeal. So even if the other side appeals this, the appellate court is going to be limited only to the legal analysis itself. So the judge made a finding that that effectively the DOD, the Navy in this particular case, is arbitrarily and capriciously deciding what is battle readiness and what is not. So on one hand, the SEALs are forever waived their rights to religious exemptions for all vaccines, while other service members in the Navy might avail themselves to that. Likewise, some people in the Navy got disability exemptions to the shots, while others, in fact, all of them have had their religious exemptions refused. So that shows behavior on the part of the DOD that is purely discriminatory. It's obvious that they are discriminating against people with any kind of a religious belief system. And so that finding in this particular case will translate across into ours. And while our judge is not bound to observe it, they do. It's called judicial notice, and judges do take notice of these things. And generally, all of this is going in the right way. So I'm overjoyed with this decision.
Well, let me ask you this, for the audience who may have missed our previous conversation. When you say this judgment in this case with the SEALs may help you in your case, explain what that means. Which case are you speaking of?
Yeah, sorry about that. Robert V. Austin. It's 1-21 CV02228. We filed this lawsuit in the Federal District Court of Colorado back in August of this year. It was about plaintiffs originally that had already had COVID recovered, had natural immunity, and therefore availed themselves to exemptions under 40-562. It's an Army regulation that extends the entirety of the DOD, and it has five effectively exemptions to the shot. So we brought suit because the DOD was denying all exemptions at the very beginning. And on top of that, the Secretary of Defense doesn't have the authority to waive soldiers or service members' informed consent rights. And that's what they were trying to do. So we filed that suit. At the time, we thought we had about 200,000 plaintiffs in our class of plaintiffs, because it is a class action suit. It turns out in more recent times that we've come to find it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 400,000 people that are saying no to the shots, and the DOD is persecuting them. And this decision in the SEALs case, I think, effectively puts a stop to that.
Well, thank goodness for honest judges. I don't know that there are many of them out there. Certainly, Trump played a role in putting decent judges in positions of power. Let's just go over this, because this is about slavery versus freedom at the end of the day. That's my view as it pertains to a mandatory vaccination, whether experimental or not. In this one, let's be clear, is experimental. The ruling cited the First Amendment and the 1993 Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which prohibits government bodies from, quote, substantially burdening a person's exercise of religion, even if the burden results from a rule of general applicability. O'Connor called the Navy's process for considering these religious accommodations theater, and noted the service has not granted a religious exemption to any vaccine requirement in 7 years. Now, unfortunately, the ruling will only apply to these specific 35 plaintiffs, not the entirety of the military. Why is that, Todd, legally speaking?
Because only 31 people actually brought the suit. They didn't sue on behalf of a class of people similarly situated, which is what we actually did.
All right. Well, if you don't mind, let me bridge over to, I think, the crux of the issue here as it pertains to this thing being an experimental mRNA, quote unquote, vaccination. Pfizer, along with the FDA, is fighting tooth and nail not to release the data associated with these experimental vaccines for some 55 years or longer. They don't want people to know what's in the vaccines. So let me do a screen share. I want to play this startling video from La Quinta Columna, who claims they found a micro router in one of the Pfizer vaccine vials. But let me be clear before I play this, friends. According to research by Michael Yeadon on the batches, the research is showing that injuries and deaths, when plotted on the XY axis, is showing that maybe only 5% of the vials in circulation are causing the most harm and death. So to researchers like Michael Yeaton and others, that is pointing to the fact that there is a premeditated experiment happening here where these companies, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and Moderna, if what is being alleged is true, they are targeting people, specific areas at specific times with extremely toxic vaccines. So that's to say that some of the vaccines, most, are not that harmful, but 5 to 10% are extremely harmful, 2,500 to 3,000 times the toxicity of the non-harmful vaccinations. Now that would speak, that would point to premeditated murder. Okay, now with that in mind, friends, let me play this from La Quinta Columna, and I'll try to translate a bit as we go. The corners are perfectly square. This is micro technology. There's at least on the order of 1200 magnification right now, and you can see it clearly. So this is a few tens of microns large. And this is what's been introduced, what has been injected into people's bodies. Oh my goodness. Either we just stop these genocidal people right now and put them directly in jail or hang them directly in a public square. Otherwise, they'll end up basically killing the whole human race. Do you understand? Let's try this while we're at it, of course, recording all kinds of images. Let's try this. I just want to play this a bit further, Todd, because he gets very, very angry as this video plays on, which is the righteous indignation we should all be feeling. He says, so even though they say we're conspiracy theorists and they'll call you deniers if you don't want to take the mandatory vax, this is what's inside the Pfizer vaccine, he alleges. I make an appeal to judges, either do something about this immediately or go directly to the courts and turn them, or we'll go directly to the courts and turn them all upside down. This can no longer be tolerated. Summon me to testify. Just summon me. All right. I let that play on a bit long, but I think it's extremely important. The man has found evidence of something extremely startling, as other researchers have, in these vials. Maybe it's no wonder, Todd, that Pfizer and the FDA don't want any of the data released about what's in these vaccines for 55 years or more.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. There's actually a lot that goes into what we just saw. And if you don't mind, I want to kind of delve into it a little bit, because there's so many parts that interplay with everything we're doing in our case and evidence we found, hundreds, if not thousands, of people that have gotten hold of us to give us information and evidence along these lines. Thank you for playing that. First and foremost, it strikes me that those very sharp corners support the proposition that our doctors found, and that is the microclot problem. So I think there's a scientist in Germany that said, you know, the graphene it with one atomic layer thick acts like a bunch of little razor blades. That by itself looks like a razor blade. So there's no doubt that these things are causing microclots. And as microclots happen, they grow into bigger clots. And over time, people have embolisms. And that's being borne out right now. We're seeing that in some of the military folks. So secondarily to that, earlier in our case, we filed an original preliminary injunction based on some evidence where we actually did mass spectrometry. So we did some similar analysis like that. We have a retired professor of pathology that went through this, and he obtained two samples, one vial of Moderna, one vial of Pfizer. And in each case, we did not find graphene oxide. We didn't find any graphene family particles or what they call them, graphene family, yeah, molecules, I think is what it's called. In any event, it wasn't there. What was there polyethylene glycol, which is, of course, toxic by itself. Our experts state that no less than 70% of the people on the planet are allergic to this when it's injected. This is the first time in any clinical trial, and that's what this is, a phase 3 clinical trial, that they've used polyethylene glycol as an injectable. So you might find it in some topical things, or maybe even in laxatives or something like that. But nobody's really injected people heretofore. Now you've got the biggest phase 3 clinical trial that's ever happened in the history of humanity. In fact, it was envisioned to be, you know, humanity-wide. So there's no doubt that people are having these kind of reactions. My point to saying this is that the evidence does support what this doctor is saying, the scientist from Spain, in so much that there are varying ingredients in all of these shots, because this is a phase 3 clinical trial. And in that, according to the FDA regulations, they don't even actually have to tell the FDA what it is they're testing in each and every case. So there will be variations in formulation as to potency of particular ingredients. Some ingredients will be there and some will not. The one thing that does seem to be certain throughout all of this, which is really deeply concerning, and to me, it speaks volumes, again, to criminal intent, that in order for the lipid nanoparticles, those are the parts of the hydrogel that actually penetrate the cell wall and reprogram the cell. So think of them like little bombers. I think we'd mentioned that before. These little lipid nanoparticle bombers are fitted with transistors, which means that they're remotely controlled to when they want to deliver their payload and what their payload is. In the case of Pfizer and Moderna, the payload are fragments. Those are messenger RNA fragments, and they're designed to genetically modify the individual, that cell, to create synthetic DNA. And that's what creates the patent rights for the patent holders, for all the people that got stuck with these things. Almost more importantly than those intellectual property rights and the synthetic human, is the fact that in order to get those lipid nanoparticles into the cell, the companies, the manufacturers, had to disable people's immune systems. So they added into these shots proteins that they had discovered in the HIV/AIDS studies, how to take to gene edit via CRISPR or other mechanism, how to take away a person's immune defense to slip the lipid nanoparticles past your own body's defense mechanisms in order to get it into the cell. They've effectively given everybody that got these shots AIDS.
Do you want to repeat that? They've given everybody who's taken these shots AIDS?
That's what I'm telling you, is that for the purpose of getting the lipid nanoparticles into the cells, they had to disable everybody's autoimmune response. And they specifically included, according to our experts, and there are lots of them that say this, in fact, it's public knowledge, you can look it up for yourself, they had to include proteins that would disable people's immune response. That's in the shots. So even though you only have 5% of these, right, that are extraordinarily dangerous, people will die within 11 or 12 days, whatever the case is, everybody that got the lipid nanoparticles as a function of delivering these mRNA fragments or adenovirus fragments was given AIDS. And in fact, you can see that in recent times, you would see it in public reports, even on mainstream media, they talk about the waning effectiveness of the shots, which is what they're using as a justification for additional booster shots. The reality is that each and every shot is lowering people's immune system by, you know, tens of percentage points, to the point where, according to Dr. Tenpenny, in fact, by week 48, a person's immune system has been completely disabled. That means that they are subject to any variety of maladies that maybe have been plaguing them heretofore. People who have recovered from cancer, their dormancy, are coming back in 30 days from nothing to stage 4 cancer. We are seeing this in the population of our military clients. Soft tissue cancers, according to one of our doctors, are up 6,000% over the last 2 years. That's the reason for it.
Well, and I'm sure you saw that news piece that was released by, I believe it was an Indiana life insurance provider, saying that deaths in people between the ages of 18 and 64 years old are up 40%. Now, that's unprecedented. That's absolutely unprecedented, Todd. And of course, the mainstream horror media and the mainstream big pharma companies, and I guess you'd say the CDC and the NIH and Fauci, they're not going to make the correlation that the vaccine is to blame.
That's already the case, right? So when you see the reporting on it, you'll see that they have different dates that are acting like envelopes. So there's this arbitrary line that if somebody dies more than 14 days after the vaccination, well, it couldn't possibly be due to the vaccine. However, according to Dr. Tenpenny, who I like as an expert in particular, because she's very thorough, there are 8 deadly vectors in each and every one of these shots. And the 8th one, meaning 7 previous ones, have already happened by week 48. So you have this cascading effect. Some people who might have anaphylactic shock to the polyethylene glycol in the shot, that seems to be happening a lot. They die, you know, instantly in some cases. Then you have others that suffer pulmonary embolisms from microclots turning into bigger microclots. One of the things that the same people from La Quinta Clínica, they had also stated that they'd done studies whereby the electrical impulse to the heart are interacting with the graphene oxide. So as the heart races faster, it's creating more damage to somebody's cardiovascular system by electrical signals. Likewise, they state in a recent thing, I saw one of their shows, that exposure to radiation will do the exact same thing. So here we go, 5G is about to be turned on. I thank God it wasn't turned on today. That is radiation. As I understand it, those signals are somewhere between 33 and 66 gigahertz. That's the exact same frequency that your microwave oven uses. So they are going to radiate everybody. And how are these people that already have the graphene oxide in them, those that receive that particular shot, which I think is by and far the most of them, how are they going to respond to these electrical impulses?
I'm so glad you brought that up because I want to talk about 5G. I'm going to be bringing back to the show my friends Hope and Tavon, my researcher friends, who've done such excellent work in this area. They're coming back in February to talk about 5G and all of their new research. But here's what I find alarming. As we're having this conversation today, friends, it's January 5th, and as Todd just said, he's very glad that today they didn't turn on the 5G because today was the day they plan to roll that out. I believe they've done maybe a 2-week pause after the FAA and the Department of Transportation have asked these companies to pause the rollout of 5G because these regulatory agencies are fearful that 5G may interfere with airline communications. Now, can you imagine if planes start crashing when they turn on the 5G? Todd, these companies don't ultimately care. I think they've done maybe a 2-week pause, but that's about it. They're going to turn on 5G. So I want to talk about 5G in a second, but just speak to the fact that these corporations, they don't have the best interests of human beings at heart because they've never done any of the research necessary to prove that 5G is safe at all. Todd?
Well, they're part of it. So earlier in my life and legal career, I was undoing what the Soviets did. I was doing mass privatization in Eastern Europe. So I have a really good idea of what a Soviet model economy looks like because I'd spent my early career undoing that. That is exactly what has been built worldwide now, is you have oligopoly oligarchies that are in place, public-private partnerships, where the government is involved in fully integrated large businesses that own all the other businesses. And they produce products from the dirt to the end consumer and everywhere in between with very limited competition, which is by design. They've picked the winners and losers. And you think back to when all the lockdowns happened, why was it that Walmart and Target were allowed to be open and other department stores were not? And that happened in every single industry. So the point in this is that they are part of the plan. And no, they don't care. We did a study, a legal study back in 2019, and actually discovered that the FCC and the cell phone communications companies had collaborated to make it illegal, in fact, a criminal offense for city councils to vote against the installation of 5G antennas in their neighborhoods. They're all one and the same. And the concern with the FAA, as I understand it, I also happen to be a pilot, is not only does it interfere with the communications, but you know, big airplanes use radio altimeters when they're shooting the approach, when they're trying to land the airplane. They need very specific altitudes to hit the approach course, you know, approach path correctly. And my understanding is that the 60 gigahertz signal, thereabouts, right, the microwave ovens being blasted around, actually interferes with that signal. So it's less a function of these airplanes flying around high in the sky. This will affect them negatively at the most dangerous and crucial part of the flight, and that's landing the airplane.
All right. This is just also startling. I mean, it's rolling out in real time. We've been covering all of this for years, but it appears the quickening is at hand. Okay. They're not going to stop. This is all corporate money. It's sort of that New World Order umbrella of corporations. They're all in on this conspiracy together. And we're going to talk more about 5G and the potential correlation between 5G and COVID in a second. I just want to impress on people, I want you to remember Tom Wheeler, the former chairman of the FCC, foaming at the mouth in speeches to fast track and approve 5G and get it rolled out. To hell with the studies, he said. It's too important.
And will generate tens of billions of dollars in economic activity. And that's damn important, because it means that U.S. companies will be the first out of the gate. And that is why 5G is a national priority. And stay out of the way of technological development. Unlike some countries, we do not believe that we should spend the next couple of years studying what 5G should be or how it should operate. The future has a way of inventing itself. Turning innovators loose is far preferable to expecting committees and regulators to define the future. We won't wait for the standards.
This is a perfect time for a break, friends, and a quick message from our sponsor. So stocks are at all-time highs. The housing market is on fire. Interest rates are at zero. And this government just printed another $5 trillion. What could possibly go wrong? Meanwhile, consumer confidence hit a 10-year low, and inflation hit 6.8% officially, with many informed analysts saying it's much closer to 9%. So something's not adding up, is it? What can you do? You can play it safe. Putting some of your assets into precious metals will keep your money away from the volatility of markets and inflation and let you sleep at night. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free America the Beautiful solid silver 5-ounce coin with any qualifying plan you start. So talk to an expert at Noble Gold, and they'll run you through the options to keep your money safe. No pressure, no hassling, no call centers, just a chance to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about. How refreshing would that be? You can start by calling 877-646-5347 or visit their website at noblegoldinvestments.com.
We won't wait for the standards.
The economy, the race to beat the Chinese, it's too important. We've got to get 5G rolled out. Tom Wheeler, foaming at the mouth. Friends, imagine when 5G rolls out, if something bad starts to happen and we see people dropping at even a greater rate. Do you think the mainstream media is going to correlate the 5G with the COVID vaccinations? Of course not, because they won't even correlate the current deaths and the 40% surge in deaths between ages 18 and 64 because of the vaccine. They won't correlate that. They're not going to correlate 5G when it gets worse. You said something very important earlier in this interview. You used the term synthetic human. Let's talk a little bit about that. And is there any federal precedent, legal precedent for these corporations that are vaccinating people and altering their DNA? Through mRNA technology, is there any legal precedent that would allow these corporations to claim ownership of these new synthetic humans?
Yeah, sadly, it's already settled and was back in 2013 in a U.S. Supreme Court case called Myriad Genetics. And the page 6 of that opinion, if you want to look it up, I might have already sent it to you, actually states that use of messenger RNA to genetically modify a genome results in the synthetic resulting genome, now synthetic, as being the intellectual property of the patent holder. So effectively, that means the new genome is the chattel property of the patent holders. That's now settled law, and there is not a lot of law protecting anybody. In fact, it seems to be almost exclusively EPA, environmental type of laws to stop what the government deems to be dangerous, unintended genetic modification. But there are almost zero protections in terms of what people can do, what scientists can do to genetically modify somebody. And it's really important to understand is that effectively all of our constitutional rights have been eroded, taken away over time, almost exclusively on the basis that there were exigent circumstances. There was something immediate that where law enforcement, the government had to jump in and solve a problem. And for that reason, yes, Judge, we violated somebody's human rights, their constitutional rights, but we had to do it because it was a pressing time thing. There's always an exigent circumstance. And heretofore, we've allowed that to happen. And it, until such time as we say, no, why are we in a hurry? What is it that we have to do so fast? Going back to the COVID itself, a 99-something percent survivability rate, where exactly is the emergency? Until we stop buying into this crap, there will always be exigent circumstances and there will always be reasons to take away our rights.
Yeah, that's right. And they love to frame it up as emergency. Okay, so it's always under emergency use. And once they take some of our rights, those rights never come back. Okay, the emergency never ends. All right, well, let's do a screen share here. We'll talk about this document you were kind enough to send me. And this is from the Sleuth Journal. The name of the article is Evidence for a Connection Between COVID-19 and Exposure to Radio Frequency Radiation from Wireless Communication, Including 5G. This is from the Journal of Clinical and Translational Research. Now, Todd, you probably recall COVID-19 began in Wuhan, China in December 2019, shortly after the city had gone 5G live. That is, become operational on October 31st, 2019. COVID-19 outbreaks soon followed in other areas where 5G had also at least partially been implemented, including South Korea, Northern Italy, New York City, Seattle, and Southern California. I'm going to stop there. This is a very incredible document. If I think to do it, friends, I'll leave it below. Todd, researchers I've talked to, Hope and Tavon, we've talked about the connection between 5G and the COVID vaccine. What do you think of that possibility?
It's a fact. Sorry, that didn't mean to be cutting you off. It's a fact. It's all there. None of this is actually hidden. You can find it in a variety of places. In fact, Natural News did an article that was cited in this particular one. DARPA rumored to be genetically modifying humans to create zombie super soldiers. The Charles Lieber, Dr. Lieber, who was just convicted in federal court for supporting the Chinese in their development of all of this stuff, was famous for atomically welding transistors into these nanoparticles, thereby turning them into nanobots. The reason why he did that was to make them responsive to cell phone signals, radiation signals, just like the ones we're talking about in 5G, 33 to 66 gigahertz range, as I understand it. What's also interesting is, as you mentioned, in Wuhan, when they turned on their 5G network, it was 10,000 transmitters all got turned on October 30, it was Halloween night, memory serves, in 2019. And then within a very short period of time, people started falling ill and dying. It also so happens that at that particular range of frequency, and we've done the studies to demonstrate this, if it's intensive enough, if you're close enough to the transmitter, that frequency is sufficient to separate the oxygen from the nitrogen molecule. And they can literally suffocate somebody in place. That person might even not know that they're being suffocated because they're breathing nitrogen and not getting any oxygen. So the 5G is by itself a weapon system. Active denial, right? It was a bit active denial system. U.S. military, the Army uses it. It's got a big dish on the top of a Humvee. They aim it at people and it makes the people feel like they're getting burned up. That is the 60 gigahertz signal. They are microwaving people. That's what we're talking about.
Man, this is also dystopic, but what a brilliant way to roll out a weapons system internationally. Or at least nationally, you know, as it pertains to our domestic.
Oh, it's internationally. It's worldwide.
I know, but what a brilliant way to roll out a weapon system to help extinguish humanity by telling people it's because they need faster internet. I mean, I don't know about you, but my internet works just fine. I mean, you're nowhere near me and we're speaking wirelessly through Zoom and we've had no connectivity issues. Why do we need 5G when it's provably dangerous? It's provably a weapon system. The answer is we don't. The answer is we don't, Todd. It literally is a weapon system being rolled out under the guise of faster internet for everyone.
So if you recall back in the early stages of the quote unquote pandemic and people were in nursing homes and whatnot, all those folks were going on these ventilators and our last president ramped up production of these ventilators. there were a variety of people, some scientists actually did studies and found out that the ventilators themselves were operating on a 5G system, meaning they were also transmitting on 5G. And there is evidence to support it was the 5G signal that caused all the deaths with the ventilators as much as anything.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You mentioned Natural News. Let's go to this study. 5G exposure, a significant factor in higher COVID deaths. This is from Ethan Huff on the team over there at Mike Adams Natural News. The National Center for Biotech Information has published a new study warning about the dangers of 5G technology, including how it directly contributes to the symptoms commonly associated with the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19. For the study, Beverly Rubick and Robert R. Brown referenced an earlier paper published in May 2020 that showed a statistically significant correlation between the intensity of radio frequency radiation and mortality from SARS-CoV-2 in 31 countries around the world. They also highlighted a U.S.-based study showing that areas of the country with 5G infrastructure already in place and operating showed significantly higher rates of serious illness and death attributed to COVID, all independent of population density, air quality, and latitude. Oh my God, Todd, it leaves me speechless because Verizon and AT&T are going to move forward and they're going to turn this apparatus on from coast to coast. And then I think people will start dropping like flies at greater and greater numbers. And then the CDC and Fauci and the NIH will just say, it's a new variant of COVID, and they'll roll out another vaccine.
There is a body of evidence, and quite a few scientists that actually dispute whether or not the, it was the Spanish flu, back around the beginnings of World War I.
Yep.
Whether or not that was actually caused by a virus. It happened to coincide with the invention of radar. And people's bodies weren't used to the signals, as the story goes. And that was actually what had caused the Spanish flu pandemic. There is no doubt, there's literally no doubt, that radiation signals negatively impact the human body. It's a function of what frequency and what strength. So none of this is speculation. It's all here. I have patents in front of me. I think I've sent you some of them. DARPA has been involved in this and utilizing these different frequencies to affect human behavior. That's all very well documented. It's not like they're hiding it. We've all just been asleep this entire time. Nobody's been taking the time to look at this. And if anything good came out of being locked down for 2 years, it's that it gave people time to actually look and do some research.
Well, that's right. And I just want to say, friends, all hope is not lost. We have some incredible people on our side. We have Joe Rogan on our side. You guys realize that the average Joe Rogan podcast episode gets 11 million listens or downloads. That doesn't even include his JRE clips over on YouTube and his other platforms. Okay, 11 million. Compare that to the nightly average audience at CNN of about 600,000 to 700,000 people. All right, we are winning the battle for truth. Joe Rogan recently had on the inventor of mRNA technology, Robert Malone, who over 3 hours on Joe Rogan's podcast took us through all of the dangers of this technology. And at this point, Malone has concluded that the vaccine ought not be given to probably anybody, not even elderly people that are said to be at the highest risk. Now, this is Malone coming to these conclusions, similar conclusions to what Michael Yeadon has come to. Michael Yeadon, the former VP over at Pfizer, who now firmly believes that the only reason for these quote-unquote vaccines to exist and to be rolled out is as a tool of depopulation. Okay, Michael Yeadon's a very wealthy man, retired from Pfizer as a multimillionaire. He has no reason to put that kind of skin in the game and put his life on the line to share that information, other than he's a good person who actually cares about humanity. Unlike Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer, and Anthony Fauci and Collins over at the NIH, Francis Collins. These people, I'm sorry, Todd, I hate to get so spiritual about this, but I believe these people are purely demonic, or they are in the control of demonic entities. Spiritual.
It is. Yeah, it's spiritual. You're absolutely right. Look, on that note, I can kind of prove it anecdotally. In our case, after we filed that lawsuit, we had honestly tens of thousands of people that got hold of us through our law firm or otherwise, all said and done, looking for help. And I can tell you from personal experience, having talked to many thousands of them myself, 99% of them are Christian. The people that had discernment to see this have a relationship with God. It's really that simple. You couldn't be more right.
Well, I think this is a very sobering conversation. I hope people spread this information far and wide, because one of the only ways to defeat this battle plan against humanity, this conspiracy, is to not accept their offer for an experimental vaccine under any circumstances. You cannot accept their offer to be injected with their experimental mRNA technology.
I would add to that, Sean, be suspicious of, sorry to say it, any vaccine at this point. There is evidence to suggest that they've been putting the same lipid nanoparticles now into the flu vaccines. I've heard of it being put into capsules. There is a conference on, I think, the 22nd of March this year that talks about mass production of lipid nanoparticles. We're talking about the trillions, enough to the point where they could simply crop dust the cities with these lipid nanoparticles. As human beings, we've got to stand up and we got to say, no, we got to stop what is happening, or we won't be humans. None of us will be humans. They won't need to shoot it into our arms. They'll just spray it with a crop duster and that's it. We got to put an end to it.
Well, let me ask you that then, because look, there's a show on Showtime. I've only watched one episode in my entire life. It's called Dexter. And I guess the point of that show was that Dexter is a serial murderer, but he only murders bad people, you know, child abusers, rapists, wife beaters, stuff like that. And I've always had this sort of fantasy of a show, it would be a great show Netflix should produce, about Army Rangers and a SEAL team and well-heeled billionaires. And they form this organization of white hats. Military brilliant white hats that in secret fly around the world and take out these demons, these enemies of humanity at the highest levels. But see, that show will never get made, because a lot like that new Kingsman movie, the Kingsman movie takes us through the history of the last 150 years, all the contrived wars and assassinations that were orchestrated by the House of Rothschild and the international bankers. And in that movie, they blame all of those facts on a rogue Scottish guy who's pissed off about British colonialism. I'm not kidding. Yeah. Go see the movie. You replace that guy with the House of Rothschild and their intelligence apparatus, and that's the actual picture of what we've been up against for 150 years. Here's my question. How do we defeat these people whose names we know? Why hasn't Fauci been indicted and arrested? Why doesn't a sheriff go and arrest Fauci? See, how do we fix this thing right now?
I'm glad you asked that question. You know, back in March of last year, our team had actually drafted and published a form criminal complaint and published it at a website called VaxChoice, VaxChoice.com. For anybody to download, we've in fact had 20,000 plus downloads of this form criminal complaint, and a group of ladies, really angry moms in Colorado, downloaded these and started filing them with all the sheriffs across the Western United States. And that is where the term mama bear came from. We call them the mama bears back in the America's Frontline Doctors Convention, and it stuck. And rightfully so. The frontline warriors in this thing are a bunch of really pissed off moms. Anyway, my point in telling you that is that they have filed these across the United States. In fact, across the world, they've been filed in Japan that I'm aware of, because I helped draft it. And while we haven't had anybody take up the case, even though they could, it provides universal jurisdiction. A traffic court would have jurisdiction. What it has done is poisoned the well, and it's actually turned out to be really good. You might remember Sheriff Villanueva in Los Angeles County. One of our very angry mama bears showed up on his doorstep and insisted that he investigate this criminal complaint, and he did. He assigned an investigator, and they came back. They gave him full due diligence. They said, yeah, we see what you're talking about. We don't have jurisdiction to pursue this. Try the International Court of Justice. So even though we struck out there, what we did do, however, was get his attention. When the governor said, you're going to force shots on your deputies and your staff, Sheriff, he said, no, I'm not going to do it, because he understood the nature of this case. My point is, that's already out there. The criminal complaints are around. People are aware of it. We've been filing these with AGs all over the country, and they aren't doing anything about it. So what that means is we got to do it ourselves. Massachusetts in particular has a citizen grand jury law. There are four other states that do as well. And we need some leadership in states like that to convene citizen grand juries and start trying these cases. The citizen grand jury will simply indict the perpetrators, and then with enough public pressure, you can force the prosecution of these people. And that's exactly what must happen. It must be us. It must be our surviving humans that do this, because our government isn't going to do it.
Well, that's right. And in that interview with Joe Rogan, Malone called the U.S. government criminal, out of control.
Yeah.
They don't care about any of these facts that we've just conveyed in this interview. Let me do one more screen share before I let you go and give me your opinion on this. I know a lot of people think the ICC is just a joke. Nothing ever comes from this, the International Criminal Court. But according to the Desert Review, Gates, Fauci, and Daszak have been charged with genocide in court. In a stunning 46-page legal filing to the International Criminal Court on December 6th, an intrepid attorney and seven applicants accused Anthony Fauci, Peter Daszak, and Melinda Gates, William Gates, Bill Gates, and 12 others of numerous violations of the Nuremberg Code. These include various crimes against humanity and war crimes, as defined by the Rome Statutes, Articles 6, 7, 8, 15, 21, and 53. I'm coming back to you, Todd. I think this stuff is important in terms of optics. I do think it becomes more and more difficult for these people like Gates and Fauci, et cetera, to continue to behave the way they're behaving when the world is looking at these people and pointing a finger and calling them criminals and calling them out for what they're doing. Your thoughts on that article? Does that hold any weight? Is it a glass half full type of thing?
Yeah. So I'm an international lawyer. That's what I do for a living, funny enough. And I can give you an example why I'm really happy and proud of these people for bringing this case. It's going to require a lot of help to get this through. For instance, you may not have known that George Bush and Tony Blair are already convicted by such a tribunal in Indonesia, I think a decade ago.
Yes, I do know.
Where's the enforcement, right? Unless they go to Indonesia and get arrested there, who is actually going to enforce it? And this is part of universal jurisdiction.
Yeah, this is where my little team... But that's where my little team of superheroes comes in. I need Army Rangers and Navy SEALs funded by billionaires to scoop these people up in the middle of the night. Black bag.
So to effectuate this sentence, let us assume that they are convicted and a court awards a sentence of whatever. It takes enforcement. Somebody's going to have to go and get these people and bring them to a place, a state that will, in fact, execute them, execute on the sentence, whatever that case is. And the problem with the ICJ, the International Criminal Court, is that in order to have enforcement, the states would have to consent to jurisdiction of the court. So that means that we would have to change around the U.S. government, right, so that the people in charge would, in fact, consent to that jurisdiction in order to carry out the terms of that sentence. And that could happen, right? If we take our government back, if other countries take their government back, that could happen. And it was only a couple of days ago, I saw some senior military leadership in Germany warned their civilian leadership, said, you guys stop this or we're going to take over. There is a possibility that could happen. And of course, Nuremberg arose out of World War II. It was a military tribunal. It was not the International Court of Justice. The International Court of Justice was born of the Nuremberg trials. That was a military action. So going back to your point, Rangers, SEALs, I don't care if they're Army cooks, right? That is the way this has to happen militarily. And that can only happen when the population demands it, right? Those service members are somebody's kid, somebody's brother, somebody's husband. If we rally enough humans, those that are remaining humans, that may be former military or existing military, if we replace our civilian leadership, there's a heck of a chance that could happen, and that's got to.
All right. Last comment before we part ways. Guys, if you don't know what happened to Nicolae Ceaușescu and his wife, go Google the video of his final hours on this planet. He was in denial right up until the very end as he was being tried for his crimes against the people of Romania. Go look what happened to this man right up to the end when he still thought he had power. So all I'm saying is that people like Fauci, who I don't think will ever beg for forgiveness, he will never seek recompense for his crimes. He's only going to continue to push on behalf of his globalist masters and his partnership with Bill Gates and the Chinese. I wonder what happens in his final hours, because at some point, either he goes to meet his maker of natural causes or he is brought to justice. And I pray for justice. May it be served, though the heavens fall. Our guest has been the one and only attorney Todd Callender. Todd, I appreciate you so much. You bring out the best in me in these conversations because I know you're a passionate guy. What is the call to action? And just leave people with your website information and you know how to stay in touch with you, please.
Yeah, thank you for that. Going back to part of our earlier conversation, you know, if people are being changed into synthetic humans, synthetic people, right? They're not humans for purposes of the law. We actually have a law against that. It's called the 13th Amendment of the Constitution that outlaws slavery. Slavery is the ownership of other people. Patent holders owning genetically modified people is wrong. The call to action is to stop this genetic modification, to stop these crazy experiments. Right now, grab you have a scientist in your family, you have a doctor in your family, confront them with these things. You have military in your family, confront them with these things and tell them, we're not doing this. You aren't doing this. No more nookie, no more dinner, whatever it takes. We've got to get to the people that are going to enforce these things and convince them, get them on our side and put an end to this.
100% agree. Your website, dradvocates.com, friends, if you want to keep track of what Todd's up to. Two of the greatest attorneys I know, friends of truth, Tom Renz and Todd Callender. Todd, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you. It's such a pleasure, Sean. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and I look forward to having you back. Friends, thank you so much for tuning in. A special thank you to our subscribe stars and our members at sgtreport.tv, where we have that server that's beyond the reach of Big Brother, who's deplatformed us now from everywhere, including PayPal. Now been deplatformed by PayPal and Twitter and YouTube. You guys know the story. Thanks so much for your support. We appreciate you, friends. And may God bless you and your family. Happy 2022, I pray.
Bye-bye. God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.